Joe Biden had a press conference yesterday, the first one that he's had since he became president. He waited longer than anyone else to have a press conference, and now we clearly understand why they waited so long to have this press conference. If the White House staff around Joe Biden saw what we witnessed yesterday, I now no longer blame them for protecting him from the press, realizing he can't go up there on stage and he can't do this. Yesterday's press conference was terrible, and I do want to make this point clear. I am not talking about even from a policy standpoint. I'm not talking about this from a political standpoint. I'm talking about this from a national security standpoint. It is very clear that Joe Biden is having some cognitive issues. And the fact that this guy is supposed to be the one that is going to be protecting and defending us if we have to go into some sort of conflict or war or to deal with nuclear proliferation in North Korea, this should be concerning for all Americans. There was one quote that will stand out from this press conference. I'm going to read you Joe Biden's words exactly, and I'm going to play them for you in some other of the comments that he made. But this is an actual quote from this press conference, a press conference, by the way, where his staff clearly knew that he was unprepared. And I'm not talking about unprepared because he didn't study. He had plenty of time to study for this press conference. I'm talking about unprepared. Just they understood that he couldn't do this press conference on his own mental capacity. They had to give him cheat sheets. They had to give him 14-point font and talking points that we have now seen in pictures. They had to give him a picture book, and I'm not trying to make fun. I'm not making fun. Let me make that clear of Joe Biden for this, because it is clear that our enemies witnessed and saw this yesterday, which puts all of us in harm's way. There was an actual picture book created for Joe Biden so that he could find the member of the media. And then he was told which ones to call on and numbers next to him, like 1 and 2 and 3, with pictures of them. Now, the media would have destroyed Donald Trump if this would have happened, if he would have had notes that he read from, actual notes that he read from in response to national security issues, where he says, let me get you the answer to that, looks down at notes and reads you his response with no follow-up from the media. But that's the political side of this. I'm now talking about the national security side of it. I'm genuinely concerned about the well-being of this country, knowing that this is exactly what Joe Biden is doing or not doing. I get now. I understand why they protected him from the public. They're having to protect him from the public. Journalists yesterday, off the record that I talked to, said they've never seen anything like it. They actually, quote, felt bad for him, seeing Biden's decline, as one journalist said off the record. They said everybody walked out of the room and they realized how fast this man is declining, is how they put it to me. Of course, they're not going to say that on the record. They're a member of the liberal media. But Joe Biden looked incompetent. He looked foolish. There were points that were even laughable. I watched this and I said to myself, this is not good for America. I know that Joe Biden is going to be the president for the next 4 years, maybe less. I don't know based on what I saw yesterday. But my point is, I never want America to look this weak under any leader. Once you become president of the United States of America, I'm rooting for you always from a national security standpoint. We may disagree on domestic policy issues, but if you look at what happened yesterday in this press conference, it was horrific. President Joe Biden spoke about going to the Senate 120 years ago, claiming that nothing had changed on the border regarding legal immigrants. Those are just two things that he said that don't even make sense. We all know there's a change at the border. Democrats admit there's a change at the border regarding legal immigration. But Joe Biden actually talked about the filibuster and said, when I was in the Senate 120 years ago, that's not an oops, folks. This comes after a week ago when he said, referred to Kamala Harris as the president. Pollsters have come out and said voters graded Joe Biden's press conference as terrible. They're concerned. Independents say they're concerned about his cognitive functions here. And the rest of the world saw an opportunity to move forward with whatever it is they want to do, because it's very obvious that Joe Biden cannot handle, or even I would argue is not really in control right now. Other people are making decisions on his behalf, and then he's, quote, implementing them. It's a problem. New York Post had a headline today that said, stumbling, Biden lies, and media swoons, gazed and confused. Fox and Friends this morning opened up their broadcast sounding like this.
The amazing press conference, 64 days it took President Joe Biden to do a press conference, and the New York Post is saying he looks glazed and confused.
Well,
take a look at some of these sound bites from the conference here.
The best way to get something done, if it holds near and dear to you, that you like to be able to, anyway. We're going to get a lot done. When I was United States Senator, Vice President, am I giving you too long an answer? Because if you don't want the detail. No, but I mean, I don't know how much detail you want about immigration. Okay, where am I here? Let me see.
Do you agree?
Yes.
If not, why not abolish it if it's a relic of the Jim Crow era?
And so I'm convinced that we'll be able to stop this because it is the most pernicious thing. This makes Jim Crow look like Jim Eagle. Successful electoral politics is the art of the possible. You got the right code for your credit card, you know. What was your dog's name? Okay, hang on. Sorry. Oh.
I want to make this clear. I'm not playing this to make fun of Joe Biden. But when you start talking about your credit card and your dog name and it makes no context, no sense in the context of the question you were asked, when you're having to say, okay, hold on, when you lose your train of thought, when you tell people you were in the Senate 120 years ago, this is not what this country needs from its leader of the free world. He talked about going back to filibuster of 120 years ago when he was in office, said, quote, we should go back to a position with the filibuster that existed when I came to the United States Senate 120 years ago. Joe, you were not in the Senate 120 years ago. And he didn't say it like it was a misstep. He said it like declaring it, folks. He said it like this is fact, absolute and utter fact, that he is the guy, that Joe Biden was in the Senate 120 years ago, and you know that, 120 years ago. I played it over and over again because I was shocked that the media didn't follow up on that or even mention it or even say, excuse me, sir, you weren't in the Senate 120 years ago. That's what a media should do, by the way.
With regard to the filibuster, I believe we should go back to a position of the filibuster that existed just when I came to the United States Senate 120 years ago. With
regard there's no stammering there. This is a very declarative sentence.
Just when I came to the United States Senate 120 years ago.
We should have known, and the media should have known, that something was very wrong with Joe Biden now, from reports that are coming out, before this press conference even began. President Joe Biden, not only did he appear to lose his train of thought throughout the entire press conference, trailing off and then abruptly changing the subject and then having to go back to his notes and having no idea where he is, but we have now been told by multiple reporters that earlier in the day, Joe Biden was asked by members of the media about the big press conference coming up. Listen to this.
His first solo press conference as president a few minutes ago, somebody shouted out to him, how are you getting ready for the press conference? And he said, what press conference?
What press conference? What press conference? This guy's supposed to be getting ready for the big press conference. The media yells at him, how are you getting ready for the press conference? His first press conference. And he, not joking, not laughing, dead serious, looks at the media and stares them in the eyes and says, quote, what press conference?
Of his first solo press conference as president a few minutes ago, somebody shouted out to him, how are you getting ready for the press conference? And he said, what press conference?
Not a joke. That was a real answer, like dead serious answer. What press conference? And that's before we even got to the press conference. So if you look at just some of the highlights of how bad it is, and again, I'm not making fun. This isn't a laughing matter, and that's the point I want to make. The easy cheap shot is to mock the president for this, to make fun of him. I'm not doing that. I am telling you right now, this is not good for the national security of the United States of America. This guy waited longer than any other president 100 years to hold his first press conference. We now know why. It's because he couldn't do it. And now our enemies know this. You start off by saying that you were in the Senate 120 years ago. Before that, you start off by answering when the media asks you, hey, how are you getting ready for the press conference? And he looks at you and says, what press conference? This guy looks at the media and tells them that nothing has changed on the border regarding illegal immigration. Nothing at all. Day 65 of his presidency, he doesn't even know he's having a press conference. He fielded only 10 questions from 10 reporters that they gave him a picture book of who to call on and pictures of the reporter. for a, quote, question and answer session. In some cases, reporters were forced to press Biden, particularly on the issues pertaining to immigration crisis at the border. He continued to say there was no crisis. He looked down at these pre-prepared notes, and he continued to echo the talking points that he said over and over again, accusing Republicans of pursuing voter suppression. Even one of the reporters, in a disgusting show of partisanship, characterized Biden as being, quote, decent and moral. Decent and moral has nothing to do with what changed at the border. This PBS reporter said the perception of you that you got elected as a moral and decent man is the reason that a lot of the immigrants are coming to this country and trusting you with unaccompanied minors. How do you resolve the tension, and how are you choosing which families can stay and go? Biden dismissed the notion that immigrants are crossing the border because he's perceived by them as welcoming them compared to former President Donald Trump. I guess I should be flattered people are coming because I'm the nice guy. That's the reason why it's happening, is that I'm a decent man, or however it's phrased, Biden said. That's why they're coming, because Biden's a good guy. The truth is, of the matter is, nothing has changed. I guess I should be flattered because people are coming here, but nothing has changed. How do you even say those words? Like, everybody knows something has changed at the border. Democrats agree. Republicans agree. Independents agree. The numbers prove it. And then he looks at you straight in the face and said, nothing's changed. Biden waited not only longer than any other president in about 100 years to hold his first news conference, but then he was also asked a question about transparency at the border. Like, when are you going to let people in? You know how he responded? He responded, when I clean it up, that's when. You'll get to see what's happening at the border when I decide that the border is okay to look at. He also said something else that made no sense at all. Biden said that immigrants flooding our border, after saying nothing had changed, don't want to leave their home countries. Well, then why are they leaving their home countries to come to America? Take a listen.
Well, no, treating the root causes in Latin America doesn't change things overnight. How do you realistically and physically keep these families from coming to the U.S. when things will not get better in their countries right away?
Well, I can't guarantee that, but I know, you know, that old thing, the journey of 1,000 miles starts with the first step. You know as well as I do. You cover it. You have serious. It's not like somebody sitting on a hand-hewn table in Guatemala. I mean, in somewhere in Mexico or in Guadalupe, saying, "I got a great idea. Let's sell everything we have. Give it to a coyote. Have them take our kids across the border into a desert where they don't speak the language. Won't that be fun? Let's go." That's not how it happens. People don't want to leave. When my great-grandfather got in a coffin ship in the Irish Sea, expectation was he going to live long enough on that ship to get to the United States of America? But they left because of what the Brits had been doing. They were in real, real trouble. They didn't want to leave, but they had no choice. So I can't guarantee we're going to solve everything, but I can guarantee we can make everything better. We can make it better.
Again, the answer that he just gave doesn't make any sense. He just said there's no problem at the border. Then he said they're flooding the border. Then he says the people that are flooding the border don't want to leave their home countries. Well, then why are they flooding the border? But all of this goes back to the same major problem. And that is, how on earth are we going to survive the next 4 years with this guy in charge when he's clearly not in charge? You know, the media was trying to cover for him last night, saying there was no problems with him. You just look stupid saying that now. I mean, you can cover for this guy all you want to. It doesn't mean that I'm not going to, I can't witness and hear with my own ears and my own eyes what happened yesterday. He said something else that was ridiculous yesterday. He literally said Biden claimed that teachers and cops actually pay a higher tax rate than billionaires, and not a single member of the media said to him, "Sir, that's not true. Where's the proof?"
It's kind of amazing. When the federal budget is saving people's lives, they don't think it's such a good idea. When the federal budget is feathering the nest of the wealthiest Americans
90 of the Fortune 500 companies making billions of dollars, not paying a cent in taxes, reducing taxes to the point that people who are making, you know, if you're a husband and wife, school teacher and a cop, you're paying at a higher rate than the average person making $1 billion a year is.
That's just a lie. It's not true. You think anybody in the media decided to fact check that? Or to even call, ask a follow-up question about that? Nope. Because they were just trying to help this guy get through the day. They were witnessing what all of us were witnessing, which was the brain sputtering out at the end of questions about filibusters after claiming he was in the Senate 150 years ago.
I have never been particularly poor at calculating how to get things done in the United States Senate. So the best way to get something done, if it holds near and dear to you that you like to be able to, anyway, we're ready to get a lot done. And if we have to, if there's complete lockdown and chaos as a consequence of the filibuster, then we'll have to go beyond what I'm talking about. Okay, hang on. Sorry. Oh, Singman, Ms. Kim.
Nothing that you just heard was edited. That was a real-time recording, and in 41 seconds, what you just heard was, quote, and in order to do that, in a 50-50 Senate, we've got to get to the place where I get 50 votes so the Vice President of the United States can break the tie, or I get 51 votes without her. And so I'm going to say something outrageous. I have never been particularly poor at calculating how to get things done in the United States Senate. So the best way to get things done, if you hold near and dear to you, that you like to be able to, anyway, period. We're going to get a lot done. And if we have to, if there's complete chaos, and the chaos as a consequence of the filibuster, then we'll have to go beyond what I'm talking about. That doesn't make any sense. That is gibberish. It doesn't make any sense. And the Democrats saying they had a great press conference tonight. Oh, yeah, he had a great press conference. He knocked it out of the park. We haven't even gotten to Jim the Eagle yet. Don't forget, we made up a new eagle, which everyone had to go Google.
And so I'm convinced that we'll be able to stop this because it is the most pernicious thing. This makes Jim Crow look like Jim Eagle. I mean, this is gigantic what they're trying to do.
By the way, no one knows what Jim Eagle is. Everybody Googled it, of course, trying to figure out, like, did we miss something? Was this something that happened 120 years ago in the U.S. Senate when you were there, Joe? To quote Joe Biden, 150 years ago in the Senate. Joining me now to talk about this and the situation at the border is U.S. Senator Marsha Blackburn. Senator, I appreciate you coming on. I'm sure you've seen at least the highlights if you didn't watch the press conference in its entirety. I say this and I mean it when I say it. I don't care if it's Barack Obama being the president or Joe Biden. I never want my president to look weak or incompetent on the world stage. In this press conference that we watched and witnessed yesterday, the picture book that he was given to call on members of the press, which no one would ever allow for Donald Trump to get away with, the flashcards, the cheat sheets that he was given on certain subjects that we now have the pictures of that he was holding there, the losing of his thoughts, the basic moments where he literally just didn't even know what he was saying when he was trying to answer questions. This should be concerning to every American, and not in a mean way, just in a reality that if you're a world leader and you watch this, you say now is the time to go. If there's anything you want to challenge the U.S. on, challenge them right now. Am I wrong?
Well, I think that what the world is doing, Ben, is looking very closely at how Biden is going to govern and also what kind of control he has on the administration. Is he the one making the decisions, or is it the team around him that is making the decisions? And what we saw in that press conference, which, by the way, there's no precedent that has gone that long without doing a press conference, just as there is no president who has been as aggressive in signing executive orders. But what we saw was a president who seemed to have to be coached to get through the press conference with different visual aids that would help him to call on people or to answer questions. And then I thought, you know, it was like he lost his place and then he would kind of find his place and then he would get back off his place again.
It was not something that was encouraging to see from a standpoint of just power and showing power as a nation. That is the part that concerns me. And then the real question is, who is running the country? But I now understand completely why he took so long to have this press conference. He took so long to have it because the team, I think, was obviously realizing he's not up for this press conference. How are you going to not be? How do we now say that this guy can deal with all the problems that the world has or all the threats to this country if he can't even handle a basic press conference with a cheat sheet? With the picture book in front of him of the people he's supposed to call on, and with so many basic questions not even being asked of him. I mean, we're talking about major issues that were avoided. Reporters failed to ask Biden about COVID. They failed to ask him about reopening schools. They failed to ask him even about the Boulder shooting. They failed to ask him about Russia. And these are all the biggest issues that we're dealing with in this country and around the world.
Well, they are. You look at the Northern Triangle, and he fumbled that. You know, why didn't they ask him about China and delve into what is going on with China? And for goodness sakes, big tech, who is trying to censor so many of us, you know, you're laying out those issues there, Ben, and you are spot on. And you look at what is happening with Russia, what is happening with China, what is happening with big tech? What is happening here domestically with COVID? Why are schools not being opened in some states? And why are teachers' unions still being allowed to keep these children out of school? Those are the things that people are asking about and are wanting answers to. But, you know, even though we got softball questions from some of those reporters, and they were pre-screened and pre-selected, what did you see happen? You saw him fumble the questions that were pre-screened, which I'm sure he had been coached on, and it was not a confidence-building day for President Biden or for his administration.
You know, you look at the Daily Mail and the Associated Press, they both actually have the same pretty much headline. One of them reads, Joe's cheat sheets. Biden relied on 14-point font prompted cards during his press conference, quoting one with the headshots of journalists he planned to call on and the ones not to call on. We've gotten some zoomed in pictures of these cheat sheets, and it says, you know, infrastructure, and it's got, you know, a hashtag with China, and then bridges, and then roads, and then the United States now ranks 13 globally. I mean, this is what a kid in sixth grade tries to do if they're doing a class presentation on government, not the President of the United States of America, certainly not somebody that's been, and I'm quoting him, and I'm not trying to be mean, but what did he say? He's been in the Senate, what, 120 years at his press conference? And no one even caught that one.
Well, and I have to tell you, there were so many big misses in this that it is frustrating. Pardon me. I know, for everybody to see. And Ben, we're living with this frustration every single day as we try to defend freedom and as we try to hold back what the Democrats are doing with taking away voting rights, taking away gun rights, defunding the police, running the numbers off the credit card that they keep swiping like crazy with a $2 trillion bill, and now they're talking about an infrastructure bill that is a $5 trillion bill. And here is one of the things, and I know you see it, I see it also. They feel as if they can use other people's money to buy favor. And for him to say yesterday, and I think this was really significant, he doesn't even know if there will be a Republican Party by 2024. This is their goal. They want to do away with anybody who is in disagreement with them. This is the cancel culture writ large. This is their goal. as they look at how they're going to radically transform the United States. So every single day, we are in pushback mode on them with this entire number of issues that we're dealing with.
I got three things I want to ask you about that are totally different subjects, so we'll try to go through these because I want to make sure we get in the three big issues. Let's talk about executive action. Joe Biden and Harris have both called for mandatory buybacks of 20 million, quote, assault weapons, and now we're talking about the president doing this through, quote, executive action gun control, through executive action. To put this in perspective, this buyback program they want to do in this country is the one they did in New Zealand, which is now the people in New Zealand are terrified because so many of their guns were handed back over to the government. Now they can't get them anymore. When you hear the president going possibly through executive action, what does that mean for everybody listening right now? Are they going to be able to do this? Is it constitutional? Is it legal? And how will we fight back?
Well, first of all, you know, they've gone after your free speech. And once they get your religious liberty gone and free speech gone, then they've got Second Amendment in the queue. And we know that's what they're trying to do. Now, what they're seeking to do through this buyback, no, I don't think that that will pass constitutional muster. And these are things that are going to end up in the courts, just like other provisions they're doing through executive order. God bless some of these state attorney generals. They're taking them to court, and that is what we need them to do. But we're pushing back on this every day in the Senate. We still have the filibuster. Joe Manchin and Kyrsten Sinema are the two Democrats that are holding with us on the filibuster, and we are keeping the pressure on them. We have to have that 60-vote rule. Now, see, what they're trying to do is even get rid of the filibuster so they can start to steamroll and turn this country into a socialist country with them in charge permanently, forever. It would take us decades to pull ourselves back from their goals.
It is absolutely that. I want to ask you another question. That's on the border issue. Sure. That we're seeing in this insanity at the border. Yesterday, there was a video that went viral of a pro golfer in Texas that was going to the golf course who witnessed hundreds and hundreds of illegal immigrants being dumped on the street out of an 18-wheeler right by the golf course where he was going to play. And it was a very non-political moment. And that's the reason why it went viral. It's a pro golfer that was not political, right? He's just in shock that he's witnessing this, and shocked how just blazing it was. It was here. We open up the back door, and it was an unlimited flow of illegal immigrants coming out of the back of an 18-wheeler in Texas, and he couldn't believe what he was seeing. He posts on social media, and people immediately start attacking him, saying, "Oh, this is somehow racist." And he's like, "I'm just showing you what I'm looking at. I'm not political. I'm a golfer. I'm not a politician. I'm a golfer, but." You're telling me you think it's okay for 200, 300, 400, 500 people to just come out of the back of an 18-wheeler onto the streets in America? No COVID tests, no idea who these people are, no idea if they're criminals. And this is what's happening now at the border. And Joe Biden has said, we're not going to let cameras in. We're not going to let you see anything. And he said this out loud at the press conference, until That's right. I clean it up, until I get it where then I think it's okay for you to see it.
Yeah, that was astounding, and what an amazing moment in the press conference for him to say that and to admit he's not going to let people in. Look, this is why I went to the border last weekend in Arizona and went with two sheriffs, and we went out on that border. This thing is totally out of control. Totally out of control. Biden has broken the border. This is his open border policies. It's his immigration policy and what they are doing. And let me tell you something, Ben. Anybody that tells you that most of these migrants are being sent back, they're lying.
It's a lie. It's an absolute lie. It's a lie.
It is not true. What they're doing, I walked the path that they walk in Arizona coming through one of the Indian reservations that fronts the Mexico side and the U.S. side. I went out there. These cartels are big business. They put people in cartel clothing. It's like a uniform, a backpack, a hat, carpet shoes. They put bracelets on them if they have paid their cartel fee. And you don't cross that border without going through a cartel. They put the bracelet on. It tells you if they paid their fee or if they need to work for the cartel and work out their fee. And $6,000 to work out a fee is a lot, and no telling what it is. This is how people end up in gangs, labor work crews, sex trafficking rings, human trafficking rings, because these people are being abused. Then,
well, the daily average revenue, they say, attributed to the human smuggling in February, the cartels that track these migrant workers in the U.S. with these GPS wristbands, force them to pay off their debt. The number we're saying is the average revenue they believe attributed to smuggling was estimated at $14.6 million a day in February alone.
That's right. That's exactly right. And see, they make more money from trafficking people than drugs. But the Sinaloa cartel, El Chapo's cartel, is in charge of the Mexican side of the Arizona border. I went out in the mountains. They've got scouts up in the mountains or spies. They're surveilling our border patrol, our local law enforcement, and they're telling the coyotes that are running these groups on the ground where to go. Just like with all of this technology that they are using down there on the border, they were probably directing that guy driving the 18-wheeler and saying, go here, there are no cops here, you can unload here, and then people can run. They call those bailouts when they pull up and the doors open, and then about 30 seconds, everybody is gone. And you're right. What they are doing on this border, where people can come in, no COVID test, we don't know who they are. We do know that terrorists are coming in. We do know that people on the watch list are coming in. We do know that people from a lot of different countries are coming in. In 2019, before President Trump started getting that border wall up and beefing up the surveillance on that border, what did you see? You saw people from over 100 countries that came in. This is what we're dealing with.
Last question. You and I saw each other at CPAC. I spoke at CPAC on social media and censorship within 12 hours of leaving CPAC.
Job.
Yeah, thank you. Within 12 hours of leaving CPAC, my Facebook page with 1.2 million followers was shut down. It was obviously connected to making that speech at CPAC. I think everybody can connect the dots. Are we any closer, Senator, to doing anything to actually stop big tech from being able to silence so many Americans, just like myself, just for even speaking out against them?
Well, as you and I talked at CPAC, I was going for the top Republican slot on that consumer protection committee that will oversee a lot of this and oversee the FTC. And I've been working with my Democrat counterpart as I spoke at CPAC on the free speech issue. When you look at the virtual you protection agenda, which I am driving, you have to have online privacy legislation, online data security legislation. We are also working on Section 230 reforms and antitrust. And I do have a good bit of Democrat support on these issues. And Ben, what I'm going to do, let's take it one thing at a time and start to get some things on the book. I have tried to do online privacy legislation since 2012 and have been fought. And now finally, after all these years, we're building bipartisan support, and I am determined to see this through.
Senator, I do appreciate you coming on the podcast today. And a quick reminder to all of you listening, please make sure that you share this podcast with your family and friends. As you just heard the senator and I talking about, we've been banned from big tech. And now we need you guys to share this podcast with your family and friends. So if you're listening right now, take a screenshot on your phone of this podcast and then share that picture on social media or text it to your family and friends and let them know about our podcast so others can listen to us as well. Again, thank you so much for listening to us today, and I will see you guys back here tomorrow.